This is Fairhope Hospice Presents, sponsored by Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care and the Pickering House, serving Fairfield, Hocking, Perry, and Athens counties. Now, here's Denise Bauer.
Well, welcome to our program today. We have great guests here today. We have Barb Fox, and she is a volunteer for Fairhope Hospice. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
And then we have Rick Schneider, our Community Education Coordinator. Welcome, Rick.
This should be interesting, and I don't want to spoil the show, but Barb does signing, so maybe we'll just have a signing show.
That could be interesting.
So everybody turn up the volume. We're just going to be signing.
There we go.
Our listeners might have a little problem with that.
We could be the first radio signing show.
There you go.
Radio for the deaf. I mean,
that's it.
Let's give it a try.
We'll do it.
We could. Well, I had the opportunity to talk with Barb a little bit, and she is a volunteer from one of our latest training classes, so we're excited to have her on board. And let's just talk about your specialty. One of the gifts that you bring to us, maybe we could tell our listeners about your interpreting services that you can provide, and I can see a huge need for it with our hospice patients.
Thank you. I'm a retired interpreter for the deaf, and what I see the service that I would really be most helpful is just communicating, not so much interpreting, because there are professional interpreters that you would hire through an agency to come and actually interpret meetings or doctor appointments or things like that. I don't want to step on the toes of any agency out there with that. But as a hospice volunteer, what I see really being able to offer is that skilled communication, because I am an interpreter, and I can communicate with them and interpret for them in casual settings. I guess I need to make that differentiation out of respect for the profession, you know. But this, as a volunteer, would be with the hospice principles in mind, and with the reverence for hospice and respect for the interpreting profession,
That's great.
And you obviously understand the confidentiality, the HIPAA requirements, and all that. As a volunteer, we've been through that. You know, as far as I'm sure the agencies know that as well.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, that's the number one tenet in the code of ethics for an interpreter for the deaf, the confidentiality. Yeah. That is the fastest way to ruin your career.
If you want to find something else to do.
Oh, yeah. You want to find something else to do, and rightfully so. Word gets out. Word's going to spread among the deaf community, too, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
So it is, confidentiality is the number one thing, and I can see that with hospice also.
Yes.
It's just, like I said, it's just an honor to be involved with hospice, and it's not fodder. It's not to be spoken. It's not to be talked about. It's it's just way too important to just be.
You had brought up, you know, we were talking at other times, and you brought up that there are maybe wishes for the deaf. Maybe they want to reflect that they're maybe afraid or something. Were you be able to do that? And our staff at one time would not have been able to.
So you can
add a little color to it in that you can communicate with somebody who we couldn't.
Right. And a big thing with communicating in sign language is the words are on your hand and the emotions are on your face.
So you
get a lot of action going on the hands, and you get, you know, facial expressions going on. And if you don't understand it, it can be an added element of anxiety in the room that the hearing person is feeling inept, and the deaf person is left frustrated.
Yeah.
So recognizing what's being said on the face also. And that doesn't happen just naturally with every deaf person that an interpreter or a skilled signer would meet. You need that warming up to somebody. It's kind of like learning. Anytime you spend time, even two hearing people sit down, you spend time and you understand, oh, maybe one of their phrases is like, well, that's life. And you know what that means. That's not flippant to them. It's just their catchphrase.
Yeah.
So it's learning a person's way.
Because some people always say, you know what I mean, or something.
Exactly.
They don't care if you know what they mean, but it's just.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's real important, because one of the things Barb shared, you shared with me earlier, was that it's, you know, there are interpretative devices, and actually one of the things that the Fairfield County Foundation helped us with was to purchase a device that helps people that need interpreting with different various languages and such, but it can also be used for those that are deaf. But I think it does, nothing really replaces that person, like you said, because you're getting the emotion and all that. So I think that's, you know, really key. And so we're very glad that we have Barb as a volunteer to help us with that. But the piece of equipment that we use is a good backup. We can take it into homes. We can use it here at the Pickering House. And I think, you know, one of the things we're required to do is be able to, you know, have some method of interpretation for people with various languages. And we don't see a lot of diversity in language in the Fairfield County area. But, of course, we do service the surrounding areas. And we have had some diversity in language. So it has been very helpful when we've needed it. You know, because really there are some services that you can utilize that will provide these this type of care, but we wanted something 24 hours a day. So we pay for that as we need it, so that's kind of nice. But there is, when we talk into the device, there is someone on the other end that is interpreting. So I think there that's probably a little, it is nice that there is someone human behind it. But it really doesn't, you know, really replace, I think, that human interaction. But sometimes that's just not possible. So we do have this as a backup.
I understand what you're explaining there. And it is, it's vital. It's vital to have that. I think it's really important. And that in keeping the interpreter in the role of being a conduit of communication. Whereas I see the thing that I will be able to do as a hospice volunteer that I'm excited about is to be an advocate. As a professional interpreter, as an interpreter on that device, you have no investment in it. You stay true to the message. You match the register of the message. You know, you are the conduit. And I really like the idea of being able to have the more personal component in it. And like I said, be an advocate for somebody. Be be there and help them maintain dignity. Whereas as a professional interpreter, you can be feeling whatever you're feeling, but you better not show it on your face, and you have no authority or right to say anything.
Well, you know, with Alexa, I try to tell her all my problems. She just wants to know, what do you want? What channel?
There you go.
Know, no emotion whatsoever.
Yeah, she can't answer half your questions.
You've got it, Rick.
Can't answer that. Well, and the other thing with this is that I think, you know, we owe it to families to try to understand. And, you know, there's times where because of a illness, a sudden illness that someone might experience or medication, you know, it may be something that they've not been deaf their entire life, but that they're having some difficulty. So I can see where this could really help people even that aren't really clinically diagnosed as being deaf, but they're having a significant hearing difficulties. You know, how this could be very helpful for people.
If it's an amplification or clarification of what's being said, because there's also the misunderstanding that every deaf person knows sign language. No, and especially if you've become deaf later on in life. So, I mean, there's just there's just as many ways to be deaf as there are other things. I mean, it's known out in the community. It's called Big D deaf. That is when a person is deaf and there's a deaf history in their family. And that is a whole different thing than being mainstream deaf, you know, and try to get them to fit into the hearing world. There is an enormous amount of respect and pride within the Big D deaf community. So at least two different things there, and then a whole lot of underneath that too, because it's
what is amazing. There is a culture then. It's not just deaf people.
Absolutely.
You know, you had mentioned something like inside jokes where if you're in a mall or something, you can make noise, and if one person doesn't respond, they must be deaf.
Oh, yeah, you told that joke, and I was like, that is a very common joke in the,
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Do they have accents? Can you move your hands and with your wrist action? And,
you know, personality comes through, you know, it does. And that's the advantage in getting to know your person, you know, the deaf patient that I mentioned earlier, that after you've spent some time with somebody, you understand where, as if you don't know that person, you might misunderstand their sign.
Yeah.
Because the sign for nice is like this. The sign for clean you know, is two times. Mm-hmm. And if you move your hand this way a little bit, it's like discarding something. So if you don't know the person, if you're not keeping up, you may end up misquoting them, misinterpreting them, and misquoting them.
Yeah,
it's almost
that.
Like 4, 4, and 4. You know, different.
Yeah.
You know, we have certain things. Words are very similar, but it, when you're in the context, you know what the difference is. And like you were saying, their mannerisms might explain.
So are you saying you do? I noticed one thing, Rick. Now that we're discussing this, you talk a lot with your hands, so you might drive a deaf person crazy. You know, I mean.
Well, when Denise and I are talking, she
sits back. I've got
back.
My hands folded right now because I don't want to do. I don't want to be accused of that. But
do I look like I talk with my? I'm waving my hands around.
So I don't know. You probably would confuse a deaf person. Maybe. Okay,
you could be distracting.
Yeah, they're trying to read what I'm saying. Will you slow down, buddy?
You know.
Okay, here I'll try to talk without using my hands.
Oh.
Okay, that was it. I can't
talk. It didn't work.
You got nothing.
Nope. So, it is interesting with the signing, how important it is and how important it is to us. And you brought up the communication factors. Like with us, it's body language, it's everything.
Right.
And with signing as well.
Right, exactly.
Facial expressions. And I guess, can you show you're mad by being more demonstrative with your hands? Or, you know,
do you want me to show you I'm mad now?
Yeah.
With my hands?
Yeah. Slap me.
There's
simple.
A lot of people who know me who would say, Rick, come on now.
That's a mistake.
That's so great. How about if I show you, I can show you with my face if I went.
Okay.
As an interpreter, if we saw somebody make that face.
Yeah.
We would need to add the emotion behind that to our voice.
Okay.
And that is obviously not happy. But this is the sign for blow up.
Oh,
this
okay.
is the sign for mad. It's not this. It's.
Yeah,
and
it's
this,
more demonstrative.
You can see, very much so.
Exaggerated movement.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I guess it makes sense, you know, but it's just one of those little things I've never really thought about. Signing.
That's why we have Barb.
Yeah.
That's why we have Barb Fox
I'll
with
stay
us
out
today,
of it.
Rick.
If there's any deaf people, I'll stay out of it.
Well, I want to thank Barb Fox, our volunteer, and Rick Schneider for being with us. We are going to take a short break.